Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
And finally on our program tonight, Markets and Company News, I'm in conversation with research analyst Stembile Bopela, FNB Wealth and Investments. Stembile, good evening to you and welcome. Let's start with Richemont reporting a 10% rise in sales for the third quarter, largely driven by the Americas and Europe. Things a little bit off in China and Japan.
Hi, Jeremy. Yeah, so, I mean, the sector has been under pressure quite a bit. And, you know, it is very cyclical by nature. It's luxury goods at the end of the day. And so when things get tough, these goods go to the very bottom of the priority list. So, you know, tight economic conditions, I think, did serve to pull back demand and spending, especially in some of the key markets like China, as you mentioned. Their spend does remain a drag overall, but, you know, the updates did show at least an improvement against prior quarters. So a less negative theme overall. But it does seem that, you know, the festive season was particularly good for Richemont. And, you know, the details of the updates also showed growth across, you know, most of the regions, bar Japan, where there was also a bit of pressure there, but also across divisions, especially the jewelry division. So I think it's going to be a positive read across for the rest of the sector.
Stembile, I think we're talking about other people, though, because I don't know about you. I didn't buy or receive any jewelry over Christmas. Maybe you had a different story. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it does depend according to the LSM brackets.
Okay, let's move on from jewelry to cement. I see that PPC's share price down by over 1% today, but yet the company has signed a deal to build a new 3 billion rand cement plant in the Cape. This is with Sinoma. What are you reading about that?
Yeah, so I think, you know, it is part of PPC's sort of strategic turnaround plan, which is aimed at, you know, they've been wanting to improve efficiency, to modernize their tech as well, while reducing production costs throughout the business. So I think, you know, this specific JV or, you know, joint ventures like this, you know, are sort of in line with that that vision and mission for PPC. And, you know, I think it coincides well with sort of the planned increase in infrastructure spend in South Africa, where, you know, companies like PPC stand to be benefactors of that. I like that, you know, the plant is being built with solar energy generation capability, which I think, you know, everything that comes up now should just, you know, already have that part of the plans, you know, given the global mandate that we have right now to reduce carbon emissions. But yeah, I think, you know, the plant, it seems like it's got some good fundamentals. So it's going to create some jobs, about 1,000 during construction and about 200 permanent jobs once it's up and running in 2026. So I think, you know, it's also contributing to, you know, employment, which is something we definitely need more of in this economy.
And that segues nicely into a story that MoneyWeb is carrying today under the headline, Investors Go All In on Ramaphosa Pledge to Rebuild South Africa. Analysts says the report optimistic that gains will continue. But this is not a particularly new idea. The plan was floated before his re-election, an investment of 1.6 trillion in the public sector by 2030, an additional 3.3 trillion coming from private investors. All well and good, and companies like PPC will be looking on. But again, we need to see a little bit more activity here, don't we?
We definitely do. I mean, the construction sector hasn't had any real limelight since the World Cup in 2010, right? And even then, it was so short-lived. But we are seeing, you know, the construction sector seeing some growth, seeing, you know, increases in the order books, and again, in additions to employments there, which, you know, again, helping, you know, curb that national unemployment rate. So there is a lot more optimism looking ahead. And I think a lot of that is coming from, at the end of the day, it's all good and well to have plans, you know, but execution is the crux of the matter. And I think the formation of the GNU, the Government of National Unity, that helped bolster confidence around the execution aspect of, you know, this of Ramaphosa's pledge to rebuild South Africa. And so I think, you know, the improvements in the business confidence, in the investment confidence is, I think, especially from the private sector, is definitely stemming from that sort of expectation that these plans will be executed, and so the construction sector will realize the growth that, you know, may even exceed what we saw 2 decades ago.
Stabile, no company wants to have a 9 billion rand debt pile. And to that end, Business Day reporting today that SPAR is planning to sell its head office and other properties and lease the fleet as part of measures to reduce that debt. I suppose any port in a storm as far as this is concerned, but I wonder if it's not really going to be a drop in the ocean.
Unfortunately, you know, SPAR has been in troubled waters for some time now. I mean, over the past 2 years, they've faced numerous challenges, not least of which the SAP, the SAP implementation that they're still paying for, unfortunately. But I mean, what we saw was management's actions to sort of right the ship, which did help bring down that debt pile to, you know, slightly more comfortable levels. But even with, you know, the sale of certain assets, the Polish business being the main one, I think the group definitely does still need to unload more assets in order to cover that debt pile. I mean, specifically the residual debts that was guaranteed, that's part of the Polish business. So I think, you know, the biggest sort of corporate action for SPA might come in the form of the sale of the Swiss business, which they previously flagged. I think that would significantly repair the balance sheet and be sort of more positive from a group margin perspective compared to the sale of the head office.
And the jury's still out as far as the market is concerned. Its share price, 140 rand and 68 cents today, down by 0.2%. So also a wary eye as far as the market is concerned. Let's stay with the retail trade if we can. I see the Pick and Pay share is down considerably today by 1.13%, 31 rand 64. But that's not necessarily emblematic of the past 30 or 90 days, where the share price has been climbing slowly, albeit steadily. Again, are you seeing a little bit more market confidence as far as this brand is concerned, and particularly after the separate listing of Boxer?
I think definitely for Pick and Pay, the success of that separate listing of Boxer and the recapitalization to unlock value did help, you know, sort of reposition the company, even from just a sentiment perspective in the market, as you said. So I think it is definitely, you know, some positive sort of forecasting at play. But I think also just there has been, I think, more generally positive sentiments around the retailers in general. And I think Pick and Pay has also been sort of catching that wave, so to speak. And so I do think that, you know, especially with some of the retail numbers that we saw from the previous quarter, we do expect, you know, retail sales to have performed quite positively over the festive season. And so I do expect to see a few of these retailers post at least some decent numbers in their next results.
And we'll talk again soon. Thank you very much indeed. Research analyst at FNB Wealth and Investments, Stembili Bopela, thank you very much.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.